Hello, everyone! And in the blink of an eye, we have already reached day 6 of the IIHF 2021 World Championship.
Lot lost it. Liam Kirk is in, scores!
Andrew Mangiapane spins it down to Brown. Connor Brown works it back, and a shot by Mangiapane scores! Lead pass, Brick in. Great chance, score! Pavela calls it on the break!
Oh, don't hold your breath, Lucas. We still have a long way to go. But, as always, I start off with an interesting question. And one of the ultimate taboos for a sports journalist is to ask a player for an autograph or photo while you're working.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know, have you ever crossed that line?
No, never. I mean, kind of an embarrassing way to end your career, right? Like, step away from Mr. McDavid and leave the building. But as a kid, a teenager, yeah, sure, I got my share of autographs from hockey legends.
Like who?
Oh, let's see. Back in the summer of 93, my family was vacationing in Finland, and Teemu Selänne, the Finnish Flash, coming off his amazing Winnipeg rookie season with 76 goals, he did an autograph session at a department store in downtown Turku. So he signed a picture for me. It was so cool. We chatted about whether his buddy Keijo Sailunoja would ever come to the NHL. Now, that never happened, but the guy did win a world championship silver medal in 92 and became the GM of Jokerit. So, not too shabby. That was fun.
Isn't it the best when you meet these, whatever sport you're a big fan of, you meet these icons, these legends in the sport, and then they end up being like the nicest people and they take time to sign something or take a photo with you. I swear it's the best feeling.
It really is. Although by the same token, sometimes the interaction can be a little bit more gruff. I think back to Rocket Richard, the legend, the man who the trophy is named after. He was refereeing an old-timers game in Victoria. His brother Henri, the Pocket Rocket Richard, was playing in that game. Norm Allman, a bunch of other guys. So when it was time to get my autograph after the game, Rocket looks at me and says, "This pen doesn't work."
No!
Yeah, what a time. What a time for the pen to go dry. Fortunately, there was other people there with pens. Somebody handed one over. I got my autograph. And then there is kind of the crazy rock star scene with Wayne Gretzky in 1988, right after he got traded to Los Angeles. So the Kings had their training camp in my native Victoria. I'm 13 years old, and I'm waiting outside behind the old Memorial Arena for him. Now, he just comes out. There's no security, get this, except the arena manager, one guy. I mean, that's how much more informal the NHL used to be. And there are kids everywhere, and they're just mobbing Wayne Gretzky, holding out their pieces of paper in their pants. I remember Wayne saying, "Please, please don't push. Please, please don't push." Now, I stood back. I didn't push. But
yeah, you did, Lucas. Don't lie to us.
No. I did not get physical. I did not get physical. I kept my distance, except till the end when I stuck my arm inside the door of his limousine with my copy of his self-titled 1984 biography. And Wayne reached out, took the book, signed it, handed it back to me. The door closes and the limousine pulls away. That was how we rolled in the 80s.
Lucas, I like it. You have some courage in you.
Yeah. I didn't lose my arm. And I mean, that would be quite a sacrifice as much as I love the great game of hockey.
It would have been worth it for Wayne Gretzky. And I was about to say, when you didn't have the pen that worked, it's almost as bad as getting eaten by a polar bear.
It's just good. I'm still here to tell the tale.
There you go. I love these stories, so keep them coming. All right, round up today's action, please, with all of our scores.
We have Russia blanking Denmark 3-0. Kazakhstan 3, Germany 2. The Kazakhs getting their first regulation win to spoil Germany's perfect record.
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. even crazier, Great Britain 4, Belarus 3. More history in Riga. And last but not least, Canada 4, Norway 2. Finally, the 3-game losing streak for Canada is over.
Oh, so much to talk about. I'm actually really pumped about the games that we're about to recap. But first, our game of the day, and it can't possibly go to anyone but, drum roll please, Great Britain and Belarus with a final score of 4-3 for the Brits. And like you said, more history has been made at this year's tournament. I feel like it's not the last, but wow, Lucas, like, let's get into it.
What a wonderful moment for the British and their supporters. This is their first regulation time win in the top division since Colorado Springs in 1962. Let me say that again. 1962. Now, Caroline, as a victory, I don't know how this stacks up against the Spanish Armada or the Battle of Trafalgar, but it does show the British aren't just here to collect a participation ribbon. They have literally gotten better every game in Riga. Belarus, seemingly not prepared for Britain's work ethic and persistence. The old blood, sweat, toil, and tears going to the net, I mean, there's just too much time and space for those British forwards in the slot, and not much defensive support for Belarus's British-born goalie Danny Taylor. Now, Belarus did rally late on goals by imports Jeff Platt and Shane Prince, outshooting Britain 22-7 in the third, but, you know, they just dug too deep of a hole to escape. Big game from Ben Bounds, as usual, with 33 saves. And offensively, the standout player for Britain with two goals was 21-year-old Liam Kirk, seventh-round pick of the Arizona Coyotes back in 2018. Now, we could bring you some standard post-game comments from Kirk, but, you know, the fact is this young man is enjoying himself on and off the ice in Riga, and we like to mix it up here on the Totally Ice Hockey Show. So here's a little snippet from his chat with Eilish Forfar, who's been finding out more about the man underneath all that hockey equipment, with the help of some interesting questions.
Bridgerton or The Crown?
The Crown.
Really?
I watch The Crown.
Yeah, okay.
Watch Bridgerton.
All right, all right. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Yeah. I guess you had to say that, right?
Tea. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know the difference, but you've got it here in the dressing room.
I don't think we've got Yorkshire tea. I don't know if we've got any tea from back home, actually.
No, what are you guys doing?
But definitely Yorkshire tea.
Okay, all right. The Beatles or One Direction?
Beatles.
Wow, okay, old school.
Yeah.
Even Harry Styles?
Yeah, I've never been really a fan of One Direction. I suppose that's more like the younger girl generation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I like One Direction, so maybe you're right. All right. What Harry Potter house would you be in?
Gryffindor.
Yeah. It's such a Gryffindor answer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, so name any of the five Spice Girls, and extra points if you can get all five. This is a bit before your time.
I think the only one I know is like Mean Spice, but
that's
I don't know that's
not even
name.
Real.
I have just like nicknames.
Mean Spice?
Mean
no.
Spice, maybe.
No, come on. There's five.
Is Mel B a Spice
Girl? Yeah, but what's her like Spice thing? Okay, well, it's good that you know her real name, but...
Yeah.
Like, you know, Scary Spice is probably what you were going for.
Yeah, is that not mean? Mean
no.
Scary, is that the same?
No.
Is it like real?
Scary
like,
is like, I would rather be called scary than mean.
Is it like on the dot, like I have to get them?
Yes. So Scary Spice was one. Baby Spice?
No.
Sporty Spice? How did you not get that one? That would be you. Ginger Spice and Posh Spice.
See, I was going to say Ginger Spice.
Posh Spice, you know, David Beckham. One.
Oh, okay. Victoria. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's tough. That one, you're going to get in trouble
for. Yeah, just cut that one.
Come on, Liam. You don't even know the name of even one Spice Girl? Lucas, I have to tell you, I'm more of a Sporty Spice fan. And I also love Posh because she's a complete boss lady and married to one of my favorite soccer players ever, David Beckham. But for Liam not to even know one, that's crazy.
You know, I haven't devoted as much thought to it as you, Caroline. Mm. I would say I used to be team Baby Spice, but over time I tilted Ginger. But, you know, when we talk about the Spice Girls... I can't help thinking about Canada and what they did today. You know, it's like, we need some wins like we never needed wins before. It's the good thing we beat Norway. We got a first win, and now we need some more. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The only response I have to that is, stop right now. Thank you very much. And Lucas has a terrible voice, so let's get back to IIHF.
The royalties are flowing in every day. I don't know what you're talking about.
We might get fired before the tournament even ends.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, in a blaze of glory, as John Bon Jovi said on his solo album.
Okay, Canada, Norway. The Canadians finally did it. They have their first win at the 2021 IIHF World Championships under their belt. They did it in a 4-2 win against Norway. And oh my goodness, how good do you think that result feels for the Canadians?
Caroline, you never want to have a monkey on your back. Trust me, I traveled through Uganda a couple years ago. I saw a woman get slapped by a gorilla. I almost got peed on by chimpanzees. Fortunately, no damage done to anyone, just like with my polar bear encounter. But when it comes to the metaphorical hockey monkey, Canada really needed those first 3 points of the tournament. And big picture, if Gerard Gallant's team is going to keep this going, they need more production from Captain Adam Henrique and Connor Brown, both NHL veterans with multiple 20-plus goal seasons. Both of those guys finally getting on track today. Now, in the second, it looked like the Norwegians had some orangutans or baboons on their side, striking back with two quick goals on just 3 shots. One going in controversially off the skate of Mats Roselli Olsen. But all's well that ends well for Canada. Andrew Mangiapane adding a goal in his tournament debut. So certainly the country that invented hockey, our country, is not out of the jungle by any means. But at least they've got some hope as they prepare for the crafty Kazakhs on Friday.
Lucas, how do you always find yourself in these bizarre situations with animals?
Well, I wear a lot of hats in life, and I'm a travel writer when I'm not a hockey writer. So, yeah, it's all professional development time.
I love it. Well, it's great content because you can add it into your hockey podcasts, your reads, everything.
Stay tuned.
Okay, moving on to Russia and Denmark. The Russians defeated Denmark, but Lucas, you're a tough critic, my friend. You were expecting more. What more can you ask for than a W?
Well, you know, 3 points for Russia, but only 3 goals. I mean, back in the days of the Soviet Union, that would be unacceptable. So not as many goals as we expected, especially with coach Valeri Bragin's getting a day off on Wednesday while the Danes had to slug it out for a 3-2 overtime win over Great Britain. Here, though, in the Danish net, Sebastian Dom, doing his utmost to keep this close, showing off great lateral movement and coming up with a spectacular glove save during an early Russian power play. But over time, that Russian skill wins out. Ivan Morozov delivers the power play winner in the last minute of the second period. Now, Russia's been fairly average at this tournament with the man advantage, just 4-for-15, but converting at a critical time. And you know, Caroline, the great Soviet defenseman Valery Vasiliev used to say, "Nobody can skate with us in the third period." Well, here we are in 2021. Some things haven't changed. Russia dominates the third, outshoots Denmark 12-6, and gets 2 more goals. Another positive little sign, Morozov is among the tournament faceoff leaders at 61%. Faceoffs are usually an area of weakness for Russia. But speaking of weakness, Denmark's quarterfinal hopes are starting to fade a bit, outscored 7-2 over the last 3 games. Not having Mikhail Bodker in the lineup here after he took a puck off the year against Britain certainly did not help.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to a game between Kazakhstan and Germany that I was absolutely shocked at when I saw the score. 3-2 for Kazakhstan, despite that country proving to be legitimate contenders at this year's World Championships. I was sure the Germans would get the result because they hadn't lost in the tournament so far. However, with all that being said, I loved seeing the score line. I love being surprised in these tournaments. And, you know, you got to tip your hat to Kazakhstan and their performance.
The surprises just keep coming. And the funny thing is, not that long ago, this kind of scoreline between Germany and Kazakhstan would have been no big deal. We don't usually think of Germany as an offensive powerhouse, but of course, that's exactly what they've been overall in Riga. So Kazakhstan's ability to keep this game scoreless for more than 26 minutes, get that opening goal, grind it out along the boards, lots of active sticks. I mean, it was a good strategy. And it was a great day for Kazakh coach Yuri Mihailas. One of his offside challenges nullifies a Matthias Plakta goal. The other challenge, well, that didn't pan out, but Kazakhstan still killed off the ensuing man advantage. And then Mihailas picks the right man, in captain Roman Starchenko to take a third period penalty shot for the equalizer. And then the smart moves just keep coming. With Germany pushing for the tying goal in the dying stages, the Kazakh coach uses up his timeout to give his players a very important rest after an icing call. And so they come out with 3 points. 3 points for a change of pace instead of their usual two. German coach Toni Soderholm, not so happy. He was pretty candid about what went wrong.
We didn't play our best hockey today. We played okay in the second period when we played a little bit quicker, but we didn't get going the way we wanted to. We saw the forecheck that we were expecting from Kazakhstan, and they played very committed.
Now, Germany's got a couple of days to rest up and reset before battling defending champion Finland on Saturday.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, everyone, that's it for our game of the day and our recaps. Don't go anywhere because Lucas is taking us down memory lane next. Back to 2019 again.
May 26, 2019. On the strength of two goals by captain Marko Anttila, Finland defeated Canada 3-1 in Bratislava to win the IIHF World Championship gold medal. It was the climax to the ultimate Cinderella story of international hockey in the 2010s. The Finns, with no full-time NHLers, had already eliminated the two-time defending champion Swedes in the quarterfinals and the superstar Russians in the semifinals. Even though coach Jukka Jalonen's team had also beaten Canada in their tournament opener, nobody in that Finnish dressing room underestimated the legendary Canadian will to win. Defenseman Shea Theodore gave Canada the lead midway through the first period.
Centering pass from Mantha, knocked down by Ryla. Mantha stays on it, pokes it back for Theodore. Winds his way in. Shea Theodore shoots, scores! Shea Theodore fires it home!
Theodore jumped in from the blue line, cutting between Finnish defenders and beating goalie Kevin Lankinen high to the glove side. But then, it was time for the towering Anttila to cement his own legend. The Jokerit veteran's nickname is Mörkö. It's the name of a character in Tove Janssen's children's books about the Moomins. Mörkö has a frightening presence and leaves the ground frozen. Anttila threw his first scare into the Canadians when he scored the power play equalizer at 2:35 of the second period. At the exact same time in the third period, he circled into open ice next to the Canadian net, took a centering pass from Veli-Matti Savinainen, and fooled goalie Matt Murray with a quick release.
Now Severson's lost his stick. Centering pass. Anttila scores! Marko Anttila again! And the Finns lead for the first time!
The Canadians did all they could to come back, outshooting Finland 21-3 in the third period. But Lankinen stood firm, and Harri Pesonen added a late insurance goal. Finnish fans from Bratislava to Helsinki were ecstatic. Mörkö and his teammates had beaten the odds to bring home Finland's third gold medal of all time.
What's going on, everyone? You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show, and we're ready to preview all of the amazing games in store for us tomorrow. Our first order of business is Switzerland taking on Slovakia.
The Swiss are reeling right now after that 7-0 loss to Sweden, so this will be quite a test of their character to see how they rebound against Slovakia. Conversely, Slovakia's confidence is sky high right now, coming off a long-awaited win over Russia, and now looking to make it 4 straight wins atop Group A. Get this, Slovakia has never trailed in the tournament. You'd think it was the glory days of the early 2000s with Miro Chetan and Peter Bondra all over again. Now, Switzerland could really use an early goal to inject some confidence of their own, and get the Slovaks out of their comfort zone. If the Swiss can get the PP clicking again, like that 5-2 opening win over the Czechs with four power play goals, that could also be a difference maker. You know, everybody's had their bubble burst right now, except Slovakia. And, well, you know what that means at our tournament of upsets, don't you?
Moving on, our host nation, as you like to call them, Lucas, our lovable Latvians, take on the Americans. And this might be the game to watch.
Really intriguing matchup. Both teams coming off 3-0 shutouts. Lots of reason to believe on both sides. You know, Caroline, while the U.S. is playing very clean hockey, they are also killing off penalties like Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. You remember the famous hockey scene in The Terminator, right? The U.S. is the only team not to allow a single power play goal in Riga. Totally perfect on five disadvantages. Now, at the other end, offensive catalysts like Jason Robertson and Trevor Moore had better continue to bring their A game because Latvia's goaltending is on fire. Starter Matis Kivlenics from the Columbus Blue Jackets, he's got a stellar 0.96 goals against average and a 97.1 save percentage. Cal Peterson, he's been fabulous for the Americans too. So, if Latvia's going to pull off this upset, they got to keep it tight, because they probably will not score more than 2 or 3 goals.
Let's move on to Sweden and the Czech Republic, because they have a little rematch from 2006. So I'd love for you to fill everyone in on all of the history.
Well, it is a rematch of the 2006 gold medal game, where the Swedes beat the Czechs 4-0. So honestly, not a lot of nostalgia for the Czechs anyway. Fast forward to 2021. For both countries, it's about avoiding the unthinkable fate of missing the quarterfinal for the first time in tournament history. The Swedish offense obviously came to life against Switzerland, with Jesper Froden scoring twice and adding an assist, and 20-year-old stud defenseman Niels Lundqvist with a goal and 3 assists. So lots of fresh confidence up and down that Swedish roster right now, and not to overlook the 28-save shutout for Adam Rydaborn against the Swiss. Then you've got the Czechs. Mediocre goaltending so far, and not much offense outside of captain Jan Kovač and Dominik Kubalík, who of course got the overtime winner in the last game. Those guys are tied for the team lead with 3 points apiece. So, as weird as it sounds, after Trey Kroner started the tournament so badly, I'd say you'd have to favor Sweden here. On paper. You know, on paper.
Lucas,
I'm not going to go any further than that.
Quote Lucas Aykroyd on that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no, no. And please do not bet any large sums of money. I implore you.
All right, lastly, the reigning champs Finland take on a team that hasn't had the best run at the World Championships, but also a team that had to deal with an immense amount of adversity. It's been a tough go for Italy, but you gotta respect the Italians. So, Lucas, what do you have for us in the Finland versus Italy game?
Unfortunately, Italy's limited reservoir of goals appears to be running dry, and you can't fix this with a Roman aqueduct. 4 goals against Germany, 1 on Norway, 0 against host Latvia. Reason being, Italy's only taken 44 shots. They spend so much time defending in their own zone. You can't score from there. You're going to tire yourself out. Now, as you alluded to, the Italians have played with a lot of guts, considering this isn't really the roster they meant to bring. Goalie Justin Fazio has been heroic with 119 saves on 133 shots. Wow. But meanwhile, the Finns, they're rounding into form. We saw that in that very solid 5-2 win over Norway. The Norwegians there with just 15 shots. Now, I'm not saying I'll eat my hat if the Finns lose, because I do not own a hat made out of Black Forest cake and filet mignon, but I would be mighty surprised. That said, not just at this tournament, but throughout World Championship history, you've got to be ready for surprises. 1982, Canada played Italy with Wayne Gretzky in the lineup, the tournament scoring leader, naturally, and the final score was Canada 3. Italy 3. True story. It happened in Tampere, coincidentally, which will be co-hosting next year's Worlds along with Helsinki.
And just like the theme of this year's tournament, you just never know. We'll apply it to this game right here. Because I swear with every upset, with all the history that's been made, you just don't know. The motto of 2021 IIHF World Championships is that.
I've never gotten a tattoo, but, you know, I'm thinking about that, you know.
Oh my gosh, please do that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, like sleeve or full back.
Wow. Lucas, you know, please let's get a conversation going on Twitter. Fans, if you're listening, go on Twitter and let us know if you think Lucas should get a sleeve tattooing everything that's going on at this year's World Championships. I'd say I'd join him, but I would lie to you. I will not. So this is all Lucas.
Oh, I knew I was going to end up trending at some point, but this is not the way I pictured it. Oh, man.
Oh, it's great. Everyone, that's a wrap for this episode on the Totally Ice Hockey Show. It's always a pleasure to recap and preview everything that's going on at this year's tournament. And Lucas, not only do I want to thank you for your knowledge and your stats and everything that you bring to this show, but also for giving us one of the most beautiful renditions of the Spice Girls that I have ever heard in my entire life. So, you know, I just really want to thank you for everything that you do for us on this show.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad I was able to change your mind and just
change my
over.
Life. You changed my life today.
I spiced it up.
There you go.